I'm sitting here with Jeffrey Leppendorf, who is man about town in many ways. He is executive director of the Council of Literary Magazines and Presses.
Well, for years, but now we're called the Community of Literary Magazines and Presses.
Oh, you have another C in the acronym?
It's a way to rebrand without changing one's logo.
Oh, very
we changed
good.
The C. Yeah, wasn't that clever? Saved us tons of money.
Yeah.
No, it really better reflects what we do. And we are 50 years old this year.
Wow.
Started by George Plimpton and Russell Banks and others. It's really exciting.
It's hard to keep that kind of organization together, too.
It sure is.
It's called a service organization.
That's right. We are a national service organization serving independent literary publishing.
Thank goodness somebody is protecting it.
Someone has to do it. That's
yes,
right.
Someone has to do it. But you also wear many other hats.
Well, one should never be bored.
Or I thought you were going to say, one should never be left without headgear.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, when Gertrude Stein, if a quick aside's okay, when Gertrude Stein left Radcliffe, her best friend to her said, but Gertrude, remember the cause of women? And Gertrude Stein reportedly said back, oh, you don't know what it is to be bored. So there you go.
Well, one of your other positions is as the, I don't know what the official title is, but the head of the the music residency program.
Right,
there.
Over at Art Omi.
That's great. And when does that swing into
that
action?
That will, the musicians, you know, who come from around the globe will be arriving on August 10th. In fact, we're going to have a first concert at Basilica Hudson, same location as Read and Feed, which we'll talk about in a moment, on the Sunday right after that, whatever that is, 13th, I think. Mm-hmm. And then we do a concluding concert. You know, we kind of mismatch 15 musicians from around the globe, and we force them to collaborate for 2.5 weeks as an act of, you know, mad creativity. And they do a final concert of their collaborations at Omi on the 26th, Saturday
and
the 26th.
Are they mostly performers? Is there a mix of
performing, composing, performers, sound artists? If sound is part of their art making, they can apply to Music Omi. And we, as I said, we kind of mismatch 15 amazing musicians, and we have people as far afield as Bahrain and Ireland, all over.
Right.
Iran, Germany, you name it.
And didn't they do some sort of improvised jazz one year?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do with the Basilica. People are going to literally pull their names out of a hat, not their own names, but the names of the musicians, out of a hat, and form instant little ensembles, and they're going to perform on the spot. So who knows what will happen. Yeah, great fun.
Well, how did it turn out when you did it before?
You know, I joke that it's an evil experiment, but it's always been amazing. It always works. You know, you get amazing musicians together and you just put them up against the wall and they play. So that's what happens. Yeah.
Okay. And there must be other things you're doing. Oh, you play the Japanese flute.
Yeah, because again, someone has to. The shakuhachi. If I didn't play it, who would play it? So,
someone
would
discover
it. It's a beautiful Zen Buddhist bamboo flute. I shouldn't joke. It's a gorgeous, lovely instrument. But I do that as a musician myself.
And you compose for it, too,
I
don't
do.
You?
Yeah, sure.
Well, what do you do in your spare time?
Yeah. put up pickles. You know.
Do you?
No, actually, I do sometimes, yeah. I make kimchi at home.
Wow.
But that's enough. We don't care about me. Let's talk about this event on Sunday.
Okay. On Sunday is this wonderful event called Read and Feed.
Yeah.
I found myself typing weed and feed, which I assure you was not an insult, but a typo.
No. But
so Read and Feed.
Weeding is related. You can't eat unless someone has weeded.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
but
true.
This is Read and Feed, and it's our second year. We tried this. We just went out on a limb and did it last year, and it was great, and I think it'll be even better this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's this amazing collaboration between CLMP and Basilica Hudson, and it's noon to 5 hours of food and literary programming.
Well, it sounds like such fun.
Yeah, yummy fun.
And yummy fun, right.
And this year... you know, we have what I would call a national living treasure here in Hudson, mm-hmm. poet John Ashbery.
Right.
And he turns 90, which is just amazing, very soon. And so we are focusing on celebrating John's 90th birthday. And so we are doing a bunch of Ashbery-related things amongst other stuff mm-hmm. as well, amongst the food cooking demonstrations and talking about food and some readings and other fun things and installations. We're going to do a complete reading of one of my favorite Ashbery books. It's a book-length poem called Girls on the Run, mm-hmm. which is as giddy as it sounds. And we're also have a panel called Loving Reading Ashbery with really just a pantheon of poetry luminaries. We're going to talk about how to love reading John Ashbery. So for anyone who has ever not been sure if they're reading a poem right or afraid to read a poem or already knows and loves John's work, it's going to be pretty fantastic.
Do people think of John Ashbery's poetry as difficult, or how is it viewed?
That's such a good question, because, you know, many people do think it's really difficult, and those of us who love it don't think it's difficult at all. And I think it's because of sometimes an expectation of what people think a poem is supposed to mean.
Or they're supposed to rhyme, number one.
Well, they might think it's supposed to rhyme, or they think they're supposed to understand something about what it's about, maybe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, John Ashbery's work is just utterly delightful. I mean, if you're not smiling after you read an Ashbery poem, I think you're doing it wrong. It's not work. I think people think it's work. It's just so much fun. Actually, I have handy, I'm going to read to you. This is from the New York Times review of Girls on the Run.
Girls on the Run came out.
And I'm just going to read two little bits of it, and I think this gives a good idea. I will say you're going to hear mention of the Vivians in this, and the Vivians are these little girl characters from the artwork of an outsider artist named Henry Darger, mm-hmm. whose work is just phenomenal. And he was, I think he worked as a janitor, if I'm remembering right, in a high school. And he produced thousands of pages of this stuff that most people never saw, you know, in his lifetime. Mm-hmm. And of course now, you know, it's in the collections of museums and so forth long since him. But John's Girls on the Run is based on these drawings that are, he took images from coloring books and comic books, and he would trace over them and make these montages. Mm-hmm. And it's this kind of a crazy. He wrote like an 8,000-page novel with these drawings. This is Henry Darger, with these little girls called the Vivians, who it's hard to describe. But let me just, so you'll know what those are when I read this, mm-hmm. but let me read what it says here. Girls on the Run was described by the New York Times as a tank of literary laughing gas that exhilarates and confounds in roughly equal measure. And it goes on to say, if Andy Warhol, and I think this is right on, if Andy Warhol and T.S. Eliot had played with Barbies together, the result might have been something like the adventures of Dimples, Shuffle, Tidbit, and the rest of the Vivians. These are characters in Girls on the Run. Theirs is a world of the eternal present, a place where the ordinary is nifty and vice versa, and any possibility of a tight ending scampers away into a candy-colored sunset.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really a riot, and it's just great, great fun. But, you know, Ashbery's poems to me just have all these possible stories that can all happen at the same time, mm-hmm. and you can read the same poem and each time have a kind of different story going on, and that's the beauty of it. And I think that scares some people, you know, that the idea that it doesn't mean one thing
they
definitely
have to,
right away. Yeah.
They have to come up with what it means, they
yeah.
think.
Well, they get to participate. If you, and for those of us who love it, I mean, you actually get to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so much fun. And his lines are just wonderful. And, you know, they're just like every wonderful overheard thing that's sort of glanced by your ears
right.
at one time or another. And John has fit them together in these incredible ways where, you know, perspectives shift and fun things happen and the unexpected is always there, you know, at every turn or
right.
every period, and they're just great. So I hope people will come who might think they're afraid of poems. This is the place to come, and if you already love Ashbery, you definitely need to be there.
Well, I've been reading Girls on the Run, preparing
you will
for
be part
of the
it.
Reading.
Yeah, we have 20 people reading this book.
And, 20?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's already fun. I mean, you pick it up, and the first three lines are really...
It's a riot, yeah.
Yeah, and you get the feeling somehow there are all these kids there, mm-hmm. boys and girls and adults.
Yeah.
And everything's going on at once.
It's full of energy.
As it does, and it's just with kids.
Delightful. Yeah, 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 exactly. It captures like a sort of child, the spirit of children. But it's not a book for kids. I mean, there's something almost kind of dark about it, too, and menacing even.
Oh, good. I didn't get that part yet.
Well, you'll see as you go. I mean, or not. I mean, it depends on how you read it. But it's an I think it's an adult poem, even though it uses kind of the hijinks of kids, you know, which is what's so great about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be really fun. And so the way it works is that we have 20 people, and the voice of the readers is going to change every single line. So it's going to be this, mm-hmm. you know, symphony chorus of the poem. And yeah. there's going to be an ongoing installation during the day in what's called the Kiln Room there, which is a little gallery space off the main room, where there'll be a continuous projection of images of Henry Darger, of his artwork, and also some really fun photos of John himself, some real early ones.
Oh, great.
And you can, you know, if you don't know Darger's work, you can just sit in there for a little while and get a good eyeful. They're pretty remarkable. And I think you'll really see what inspired this poem.
Yeah. Well, is that all of the literature side?
No, there's so much else happening.
We have 5 hours to fill, so.
Right now, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to describe in real time all 5 hours of the event on Sunday. No, we'll talk a little bit. But it's jam-packed, and there are things happening simultaneously. So mm-hmm. on the literary front, we also have two remarkable poets, younger poets, who are going to be there, who are both award-winning poets of the Whiting Foundation. And the Whiting Foundation, it's known to poets, but folks listening may not know it. People probably know the MacArthur Genius Awards. You know how that works. You just find out, surprise, you're a genius. They don't really call it that, but you find out that you've won one. And Whiting is like that. You don't apply for a Whiting Award. You just find out that you got one. And it's a big fat check, and you get all kinds of wonderful things. But both these poets, Latasha N. Nevada Diggs and Simone White, are Whiting Award-winning poets, which is pretty special. And they're both going to do readings from up above. They're going to do them from...
I saw that. Readings in the rafters.
Readings in the rafters, yeah. So you'll have to look up when they start reading. They're going to be way up above.
Is there a reason for their being up above? Or
because
don't
we
need a reason?
Because we can. No, that's really the reason. Yeah. Because we can. It'll be great fun. And then the three of us, actually, this is the one thing I'll be kind of moderating. Latasha and Simone and I are going to have a chat about music and poetry and other things while Latasha cooks up salmon cakes that we're then going to hand out. So we're going to be like, being in someone's kitchen, you know, with some great poets in your kitchen chatting away while cooking for you.
Yeah, I wrote about it. I said they're performing and talking poetry, food, and music while cooking up collard greens and salmon cakes.
Yeah, we might just do
now,
salad
because
of the heat.
This?
But of course, I mean, it's going to be Latasha's mom's recipe for salmon cakes, and we'll cook them up. And that's just going to be great, great fun. And then there's another great discussion. Roseanne Gold, who's just in his brilliant cookbook author and restaurateur, and many people have her 1, 2, 3 cookbooks. I know I have all of them. They're great. She's going to moderate a discussion with 4 great chef and food writers about food and memory and the senses. And if you come to that, I will reveal that you're going to find out if you are a super taster or
a super
not.
Taster?
Yeah. You're going to actually get to find out through a little scientific test we're going to hand out.
Whether you can distinguish between another.
We'll see. We'll see. So you'll find out if you're a super taster. If you don't know, now's your chance to know. Much more important than knowing your blood type, I think, if you're a super taster or not. But we've got Matt Lee, one of the Lee brothers, you know, Southern chef, and Lucas Volger, who great vegan chef, Rohan Kamacharl, who does this kind of food porn blog called Tiffin, South mm-hmm. Indian chef, and our own Susan Simon from the area, who Italian cooking and other things. So
yeah, she's been our food person
yeah,
here
of course.
On,
so we know Susan
at WGXC.
Here. Yeah, so they'll all be chatting away and doing this little test. It actually is going to be a real little test. We're going to hand something out to test people. And Rohan, by the way, is also, you know, this year we're doing, there'll be various food available, but we're doing a community cafe, which is going to uh-huh. be really cheap food. A lot of it cooked by various local folks. Novelist Dave King in Ghent, as we speak, is baking up chocolate cakes. There'll be lots of other stuff. And Rohan Kamacharl has put together this really super tasty sounding, I have it here somewhere, menu of some South Indian delicacies. There's a dish with pounded rice and this savory dairy drink with curry leaves and just fabulous sounding stuff. And he's also going to do a demonstration of how to make a pounded rice dish with lime and other spices and coconut, I think.
I never heard of pounded rice.
Yeah, I had never heard of it before either, but I think it's what it sounds like. I think you break up rice
before you cook it.
Yeah, so that I think it's not really cooked. I think it becomes something you can just warm up, and it's perfectly delicious and edible. We'll find out together.
Yeah.
And Barb the Butcher.
Yeah, Barb the
Butcher.
It's
also going to show how to make sausages.
Well, I thought nobody should ever know what goes into sausage. Isn't there some saying about...
Yeah, I think we've been... Well, that takes us into politics, Ellen.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about...
Oh, okay.
Federal
right.
politics.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah,
let's
we don't.
Leave
sometimes we don't
want to
know what's in the sausage, but we do want to know what's in the sausage we're going to eat on Sunday. So Barb's going to show us. It's not like that other kind. So that's going to be great. Lots of great things to eat. And then we've got a whole marketplace of small press publishers and literary magazines and some incredible artisanal food makers. There's just so much to do during the day. There's also, a really, really fun thing. We have this other installation, the Cry Babies Weepy Booth.
Oh, I read about that.
Which is going to be really great. There are two folks who may be known to some of our listeners here, the great Susan Orlean, the wonderful nonfiction writer, and Sarah Thayer, who's a comedy writer. And some folks may know her if they were watchers of Strangers with Candy, that great TV show that used to be on. She was the coach, the high school coach. But the two of them together have this great podcast called Cry Babies. And on it, they have celebrities on, and they talk about things that
make you cry,
which, believe it or not, is usually really, really funny. And so we've strung together their favorite bits. So we have, Molly Shannon and Louis Vertel and other people. And that's going to be on continuous play in this fantastic 1940s, I think, old phone booth that is a sculpture in the Basilica, where instead of a phone, there's a Buddha. So normally you can just sit in there quietly and talk to Buddha. But now you'll be able to hear this Crybabies
podcast,
the highlights, in a little private booth, and there'll be a little box of tissues, and you can have a nice private moment. You'll probably be laughing through your tears, but that's going to be fantastic.
Do you cry at commercials, Jeffrey?
When they come on, yeah.
Not them again. But cute little dogs and kittens.
Oh, of course. Well, that's what, Susan and Sarah actually met at a, I know the story, they met at a memorial service. Mm-hmm. For a friend, and they had never met before, and they discovered in just meeting and chatting, it was for the wonderful David Ratcoff. A lot of people may know from This American Life, and he was a friend of mine as well, and it was very, very sad when he passed away, and wrote very, very funny things. And they met talking about David, and they discovered that the two of them are people who just well up at anything, at a cute puppy at anything.
Yeah.
And so they came up with this podcast, and they're great. I mean, I'm a regular listener. They're just fantastic. And so this will be this installation, a little weepy booth, which will be fun.
Oh, I don't want to miss that.
No. And then, of course, you can go into the main hall of Basilica and then, find a nice book to read or get a drink to drown your sorrows, if you like. There'll be everything from, beer and cider to coffee to Rohan South Indian dairy, savory, refreshing drink.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff to keep everyone occupied.
We can't mention prices on
No, but we can say that super cheap in the community cafe, really pretty much just covering ingredients costs.
Mm-hmm.
So I promise you're going to come and eat cheaper than you would. Well, I can say eat cheaper than you could eat anywhere else in Hudson on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
I think that's true.
Very good.
Pretty sure I can say that definitively. To have, chef-prepared wonderful stuff. So that's going to be great. There are things going on all day. The event starts at noon, but doors really open at 11:30. You can come and start eating early if you want, or shopping. And the programming just runs, you know, throughout up until 5.
So you can come and go, too.
You can come and go and walk in. You know, you're welcome to sort of wander in and out of things.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to conclude with a very special Ashbury event. Eric Lorberer, who is flying in from Minneapolis for this event, will be showing up here tomorrow, actually. And I know, staying with me. And he's going to reproduce a talk, a multimedia presentation he gave at the Walker Art Center when they built something really wonderful. They have a bridge, and if you ever visit the Walker, which is a great museum, you should go to this. Just outside the Walker is a footbridge that goes over the highway, and that bridge is made out of, believe it or not, an Ashbery poem, in sort of like in wrought iron. And as you cross the bridge, the words of the poem are revealed to you in one direction, and what you should do when you do it is you cross over, and then you cross back, and you get the poem backwards, but backwards is also forwards in it.
Oh,
and
my.
What Eric does is take you through images, through the experience of moving through this bridge and experiencing this poem, which is about experiencing space. It's just the most incredible thing. And it's also a talk about public art and poetry in public spaces. And he's just great. And he puts on the great Twin Cities Book Festival, and he'll be here doing that as well. He'll also be on that opening Loving Reading Ashbery panel.
Oh, great. What time is that?
That one, I think you have the schedule in front of you, but that particular panel, I think, is a 2. Actually, I know it's a 2. I can picture it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 2, but at 12:30, Latasha Diggs is going to be performing from up in the sky in the rafters, and she is also a musician, and her poetry reading, you can't even call reading, it's almost more like a musical performance. She uses, I don't want to, you'll have to really come and experiencing it, but she's got sort of instruments with her and looping station, and she sings as she reads, and you'll kind of want to bop out to it. It's pretty fantastic. And her own poetry, she uses many, many languages in her work, which is just in a really, really special and wonderful, fun way. And her reading is really a performance. And then, you know, we're all going to cook together, I think at 3 or 3:30, the salmon cakes. And then Simone White, another Whiting Award-winning poet, is going to head on up to the rafters of the Basilica and then read from up above. Just gorgeous work, you know.
So do you think people will come to Read and Feed mostly because of the literary part or the food part?
You know, if they come for either one, they're going to stay
learn
for
the other.
Learn the other.
Love the other.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people that love literature love food as well. But that was really the idea. You know, there are literary festivals in the country, and there's some really wonderful ones. And we did one here in Hudson for years. But the idea here was, what's another community that might share values with people that love literature? And the, you know, we live on the land here of great, you know, farm shares and artisanal farming and small batch
farming. Turns
you
into a foodie very quickly.
Yeah, you have to. You can't move up here and not become a foodie. So, and if you already are a foodie, well, then you already love the things we love about this kind of literature, which is that it's thoughtfully small batch and small press and, you know, these kind of special handmade feeling things. And so, like I said, if you come for one, you're going to love the other. So it's really, you don't have to love both when you come. If you love food, come. If you love literature, you love poetry, come.
You have to
and
love,
love the other.
Everybody has to love food.
It's hard to imagine someone who doesn't, but
I know, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, I do too. It is sad, isn't it? But you're
and
also
the same with literature.
Well, that's it too. I think more people, I think particularly with poetry, which we're focusing on this year, people think they don't like it or are afraid of it. And, you know, it's not scary. And particularly with Ashbery, it's so much fun. And in fact, maybe, you know, Debbie has just...
I know, we're here. Oh,
and so I'll give her plenty of time. While she's getting ready. But, you know, on Sunday, we're going to read all of Girls on the Run with 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it might be really a lot of fun right now to give people a little taste of how much fun this is. If we read just the first page, the three of us, and so Debbie, I'm going to hand you while you get your earphones on. You'll be 2,
okay.
And Ellen, you'll be 3, I guess, and I'm 1. This is arbitrary, and I've highlighted the lines you'll read, ladies. And we'll go in order, and we're just going to read to the bottom of the page.
No, I'm already confused.
So, ignore that cross out there. I made a mistake. Just read the one above it.
This says 2.
No, no, ignore the little numbers on the left. Just read what's highlighted.
Oh,
because this
just
is the
read
same
what's
page.
Highlighted.
Here's
okay.
why. They're not just so folks listening know why it looks confusing. We went through and numbered the whole thing for the people who are reading on Sunday. So it's numbered for that. For right now, there are three of us, not 20 of us.
Oh,
and
I
so
see.
I just highlighted 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So we'll just keep going in a circle. I'll be one. Debbie, you'll read the next line, and then
I'm
are
number
you two, Ellen, or three?
It doesn't matter. Just tell me what you want
You're
me
three.
To be.
So,
I'm three.
Debbie,
okay.
you'll read after me, mm-hmm. and then Ellen, you'll read after
okay.
Debbie, and we just keep going
right.
one line at a time. But I'll read the title first. Okay. Girls on the Run after Henry Darger.
A great plane flew across the sun.
And the girls ran along the ground.
The sun shone on Mr. McPlaster's face. It was green, like an elephant's.
Let's get out of here, Judy said.
They're getting closer. I can't stand it.
But you know, our fashions are in fashion.
Only briefly, then they go out.
And stay that way for a long time. Then they come back in.
For a while. Then, in maybe a million years, they go out of fashion.
And stay there.
Lori and Tidbit agreed.
With the proviso that after that, everyone would become fashion.
Again, for a few hours. Write it now, Tidbit said.
Before they get back. And quivering, I took the pen.
And there follows the rest of the poem,
wow.
which is the length of a book. And it'll take about 2 hours to read the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a giddy romp. You know, you can tell right there, and quivering, I took the pen. We're about to get a tale, but we're going to get about 100
yes.
tales
mm-hmm.
about these wacky little girls, the Vivians, you know, who are Avengers and mischievous and delightful.
Oh, I really like it.
Yeah.
I liked it. Especially, I like our reading of it. I like the way it sounds out loud,
it's,
you know?
Yeah,
it's
it
a word that
to
should
be read
out loud. Yeah, it really
think?
Is.
Yes.
It really, really is. I hope
it
everyone's going to come. And
voices.
We have 20 amazing readers, one of which is our own Ellen right
yes.
here. But it's going to be a blast. And it also
it
follows
is.
This discussion by some poetry luminaries, Joan Retallack, Anne Lauterbach, Eric Lerber, I just talked about, and Dara Weir, being moderated by Robert Polito. These are all just... If you were going to come up with five people you wanted to talk to about how to...
I was
going to
say have dinner with.
Well, have dinner with. They're all great to have dinner with. But if you wanted to say, like, I would like to know more about John Ashbery, who would be the best possible people?
Uh-huh.
These are the people.
Okay.
We got them all.
Great.
And they're going to be chatting about why they love Ashbery and how they read it. And they're going to focus a bit on Girls on the Run before we hear the whole thing.
Oh, that's
so,
great.
As I say, you know, they're going to give a kind of instruction manual.
Well, yes, that's what I thought when I saw the schedule. I thought, oh, got to be there for it, it's something like how to read and love John Ashbery.
Yeah.
And, you know, he for some of us, he can be a little cryptic.
I think that is true for people until I think you're kind of given permission to, you know, it's okay to be confused.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
okay. You should just be delighted.
Right.
You know, with the language. I mean, this uses really simple language, almost like
it does.
Dick and Jane.
Yes.
But yet as it accumulates, there are some pretty fascinating things going on. And I think some of it's actually quite dark.
I'm sure.
And really fun. Yeah. And there's kind of some mysteries and there's intrigues and there's danger. And it's just... this giddy, giddy thing. You know, it's wonderful. And you have to not be afraid you're not getting it. You have to just enjoy the words. They're just a ball.
I like this part about the fashion. Things go
yeah.
in
yes.
fashion, they go out of
yeah,
fashion.
And I love that. And in a million years, they come back.
Well, what about Henry Darger? To me, he always has seemed a little dark. Is that a mistake?
Yeah, I think there is that. Mm-hmm. You know, I should warn folks going, you know, we have this... room set up where there's going to be continuous projection of Darger images along
oh,
with
okay.
some great, you know, early photos of John too, which is fun. But mm-hmm. you know, if you look real close, I'll clue you in on something. You're going to see these little Vivian girls running all over the place,
really,
and in fires and chasing dragons and vice versa. And you may notice that these little girls seem to have male genitalia.
Oh.
And it's not
that
they're transgendered little girls, although I guess they are so much. It's that Henry Darger, we think, had never actually seen a naked lady. He didn't know. He was a kind of a recluse. And so
yes.
he assumed that little girls had the same genitalia he did.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so when
Henry.
He has them as innocents, they have angel wings and they're
uh-huh.
these little naked girls. They're very angelic. But you look close and, you know, there's a surprise, which is wonderful. And yet they're delightful. You know, it's just so wonderful.
It is.
That's great.
This is very appealing. I was planning to come anyway, but this is a draw. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be just wonderful.
And have we mentioned that it's at the Basilica?
Oh, yes. It's at Basilica Hudson mm-hmm. this Sunday, noon to 5. Mm-hmm. Doors open at 11:30. Mm-hmm. There'll be food and great books and literary magazines to look at right away. Mm-hmm. The first actual programming is really at 12:30, but you want to get there early to, you know, nab a good seat and have something to eat.
Right. The food sounds great. You may have talked about that already. It does sound delicious.
Yeah. We have, I mentioned Rohan Kamacharl mm-hmm. from, if you want to check out his blog, there's some great, what I would call food porn on there. It's the URL is Once Upon a Tiffin. Tiffin is T-I-F-F-I-N. Tiffin, you might know, as an Indian tray of many, many different foods.
Mm. Oh.
The blog is called the Tiffin Blog, but the URL is onceuponatiffin.org. Oh. And he does pop-up restaurants.
Is it Once Upon a Tuffet?
Once she Upon said, a Tiffin.
I know.
It's a play on...
On Tuffet?
On Tuffet, yeah. Once Upon a Tiffin. And you'll see images of the kind of stuff he does, and you're definitely going to want to come if you look at any of those pictures. He's remarkably wonderful chef, and he's going to make some delicious, delicious stuff for our community cafe. Mm-hmm. And we've got people throughout town making stuff right now that we're going to make available. You know, think of it as kind of like a church bake sale joined together with a South Indian street fair.
Right,
I mean, it's going to be just fabulous.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well,
good.
I guess Melissa isn't going to make it today, and we're sorry she's not
here. No, there's a lot to prepare for the weekend, so she's busy doing that. But, you know, don't miss this. It's just going to be a
really?
Ride. And also, one other little thing I want to mention. Because it is John Ashbery's 90th birthday coming up, you'll have a chance to decorate a cake that we'll present to him later. It's not a cake to eat. It's a sculpture. But it looks like a multi-tiered wedding cake, and everyone will be invited to help decorate it and write little birthday messages to John, and that's going to be great for him.
Great.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. I guess you may have talked about this. I guess John isn't going to be there.
Well, you know, he might show up. We just can't be sure.
Right.
He's doing okay from what I hear and gets out and around a little bit. Mm-hmm. He is here these days, but we'll see whether he makes it over or not. I know they're delighted this is happening, and they're going to make an effort. So they might just pop by. I just can't say for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll pop by.
Yeah.
Good.
He will definitely be there in spirit.
Wonderful.
Yes. Very nice. Well, so here I am. I'm the engineer, you know.
That's right.
It's a joke.
Thank goodness you're here, Debbie.
Yes, really.
We're having as a guest this afternoon Phyllis, I forget her last name, Phyllis Segura. Is a new programmer who's going to do a food show.
A food show.
Perfect
and
segue.
Eating.
Really?
Yes. So she's been sitting in the office there, and I'm going to bring her in and let her.
I'm going to trade mics with Phyllis?
Well, no, I think she'll be over there someplace.
Okay.
And
I can hang out a little bit?
That would be nice. There is an extra mic, and as engineer, I should know how to do this. Oh, dear. Let me just
An extra that. Mic?
There it is.
I'm pointing to the mic, which is in back of me.
Yes.
But hang on. Yeah, keep talking, as you were.
Okay. You know, it sounded like Debbie was just doing lines from Girls on the Run for a minute.
Didn't it?
And in a million years, we'll have a mic. Yeah.
We could say almost anything.
Well,
it would be admissible.
Yeah, and yet somehow, you know, it's funny. I'll just say a little more about this poem. You know, it really is what we call artless, which is that it seems like this simple language, but if you... Well, actually, you know, do try this at home. But if you try to write like this, it ain't so easy, you know. He just sustains this playfulness over this period of pages, and it really is a thing of wonder, you know, because it seems simple, but it's actually pretty, pretty complex. And that's what's so wonderful about it. It really is just so friendly, and there's just something going on, and you can't quite put your finger on it, all these stories.
I wonder why it's so as long as it is. I mean, does he usually write poems
this is, there are not, he doesn't generally write a book-length poem. This is really a very special beauty mark.
Well, maybe he just couldn't stop because it was such fun.
I think he probably couldn't stop.
Or,
I think the Vivians just kept having hijinks to write about.
Yeah, and he was... They've gotten to his head and wouldn't leave.
Well, they do. You'll see when you, if you haven't seen Darger's images, if you come and go into the kiln room for a little bit, you will dream about them.
Oh dear!
Yeah, they're magical and dreamlike. It's really something very, very special.
And did you talk about the weepy room before? I
did
got
talk
here?
About the weepy room, but everyone knows all about the weepy room. But don't miss that.
It's worth explaining again.
Well, it's gonna feature Susan Orlean and Sarah Thayer speaking to some of their favorite Crybabies podcast guests, Molly Shannon and Louis Vertel and others. And there'll be a box of tissues in case you get weepy, and it's a private little booth, so you can shut the door and. Weep yourself silly. It's actually mostly really funny. I've listened to all of it. But it is about things that make one weep. Some of it is also sad.
Like dogs and stuff, you mean?
There's cute weeping. But no, there's also, not to bring the house down here, but no. There's also talking about cancer and other things. But how we deal with things like that, which is usually, if we're successful, through laughter. So overall... The Crybabies podcast, I think, is so wonderful because it's mostly really funny, but it speaks to the heart, and it gets right to what does make us weep, and also what allows us to get through what makes us weep by what makes us joyful and what makes us laugh. So,
oh my gosh,
it's really wonderful.
I suddenly remember that I have a story about crying. There's all this storytelling going on. Everybody's doing it.
Well, this will make. I mean, this will hopefully generate you. You know, wanting to tell your own stories, which is a lot of what this is about.
I don't want to weep on the air.
Oh,
oh, okay.
But no, Girls on the Run is just going to generate stories in people's heads for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, alone. And then we have all the other literary great stuff happening through the day. And if you don't know the work of Simone White and Latasha and Nevada Diggs, they're very special poets, and they're going to be performing.
They're performing, did we tell you, Debbie, up in the rafters?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
From up
no,
above.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you'll
Yikes.
Hear them, and then you'll look up, and you'll be able to see them, but they're going to be from up above.
How did they get up there? Do you know?
That's a secret.
Have any idea?
Mm.
It's a secret.
It's like a secret. Mm. But they'll be up above. Mm-hmm. You won't see a staircase. It's something. But they'll be way up above, really in the rafters there.
A very long ladder.
You know, where they'll be, you know, the Basilica, for those who haven't been, it's the most remarkable space. It was a foundry.
Mm-hmm.
And this space where they're reading from, I assume, is where the smelted iron would have been poured down from. I might be wrong, but that's what I'm guessing it was for.
Uh-huh.
It's open. You can plummet to your death if you're not careful, but they'll be behind a podium. And they'll be up there pouring poetry down on you like molten iron, if I may.
He's a living, walking, breathing poem.
Hardly that, but I'm a poetry lover, and I hope everyone will come. If you walk in just coming for the great food and you're not a poetry lover, or you're even afraid of poetry, I think you're going to leave a poetry lover.
Yes.
I'm really pretty confident after Sunday. And you can also just, you know, eat yourself silly and listen to great chefs talk about food as well. And the shopping is going to be amazing. You know, the small presses we have there in literary magazines, I'm not exaggerating, you could never, ever find them all in one space in a store. You know, some of these are printed in very small runs, the really special things.
Uh-huh.
And beautiful small press books and literary magazines. And you can see the list at the basilica.org website if you visit it there to get the full schedule, by the way,
yes,
of Read and Feed, which
is
again is noon to 5 on Sunday, basilicahudson.org. Mm-hmm. Real easy, and you'll see the Read and Feed pair right there.
Right.
When you click on there, you can click on that, you'll get the schedule, and you'll see stuff going on all day, things happening simultaneously. It's a circus of fun, you know, of literary and food fun.
Great.